So again, our text this morning is Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. Hear God's word. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "With what shall we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Let's pray for God's help as we come to our sermon. Father, your word is light and truth. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would open our ears so that we would be able to see it. Pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen. An NBA team was tired of mediocrity. After years of watching his team either miss the playoffs or lose in the first round, the owner of this team started looking for a new general manager. One who's going to control basketball operations. And he interviewed this one guy and he said, "Okay, what's your plan for turning our team around?" And he answered this: process. What did he mean by that? He clarified, "This team is going to do the ordinary things well over the long haul, and then we're going to see results. Our scouts are going to be diligent in examining talent. I'm going to be aggressive in getting that talent, and our coaches are going to develop that talent. And over time, doing those ordinary things, we're going to start winning." Process. The owner was convinced, and he hired him. So, trust the process became the motto for this team over the next several years. And they needed to trust it because they were not seeing results. Indeed, what they were seeing was one of the worst teams in basketball over a five-year period. But everyone kept saying, "Trust the process. Results are going to come. We're doing the ordinary things. Just trust it." And eventually, they did start to win. Over the past 6 years, this team has been one of the best teams in basketball. Made the playoffs every year. Always been in contention for a championship. All because there was a process. But they had to trust it when they weren't seeing results. And that's essentially what Jesus' parables are for us this morning. What is he saying? He's saying, trust the process. Jesus knows that we want to see God at work. But he also knows that the way God works is in an ordinary way. And God typically takes time. Just as farmers' crops take time. But Jesus promises us that God is at work, especially using his ordinary means of grace. Just very ordinary things. Bible preached, Bible read, prayers prayed, sacraments taken. These are the way that God works. So for our sermon this day, I want us to see that we should expect God to be at work. That should be our hope. That should be our expectation by faith. That God is at work, especially because he's given us these means of grace. And so I want us to use those three words, ordinary, means, and then grace. Those will be our three points today. So, ordinary means of grace. Why should you expect God to be at work? Because he works, point number one, in an ordinary way. God works in an ordinary way. As Christians, at least speaking for myself, I'm drawn to the dramatic, the instantaneous. Man goes into this weekend retreat, a hardened sinner, and he comes out singing Jesus praise. And yes, God can work in that way, but Jesus is telling us to expect. How does God normally work? Well, he works in an ordinary way, over time. So to see that in our parable, I want us to look at two things. One, you know, what does ordinary mean? First, it means this: not mechanically, but organically. What do I mean by that? Not mechanically, but organically. Look at the metaphors that Jesus uses for spiritual growth. Look at verse 28. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And then look at, for instance, verse 32, this mustard seed, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and it puts out large branches. So what are the images that Jesus uses? Crops growing out of the ground. Trees growing big and shooting out branches. He does not use mechanical imagery, machine imagery. The kingdom of God is as if a man's computer breaks. He takes it to this expert mechanic. He rearranges a few wires, and voila, it's fixed. Now, what would that tell us about our spiritual life? Spiritual problems can be quick fixes, and we need experts to do so. I'm going to rant just a little bit. Just bear with me. And if you have this is not a condemnation, okay? But maybe take it down later this Sabbath. That would be good. Maybe burn it. But there's a really popular modern phrase that you see a lot, especially at coffee shops. All I need is a little bit of coffee, but a whole lot of Jesus. Translation: I'm tired this morning. I just need a quick cup of coffee and I'll be good. In the same way, I need a whole lot of Jesus. Yep, just read my Bible, pray, and I'll be fixed. But those aren't the metaphors that Jesus uses. He uses living metaphors, growing things, things that grow, not machines that need fixing by experts. So, how does God work? What does ordinary look like? Organic, not mechanical. And then, secondly, and closely related, God does not typically work instantaneously, but he works over time. Look at verses 26 and 27 again. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how." How does God normally work? Again, it doesn't take a genius to understand what Jesus is saying. He's saying that God works like a farmer. So after sowing his fields, when does a farmer expect to see those seeds become crops? You know, not the next day, or the day after that, or the one after that. No, a farmer thinks in months, right? Weeks, months, not days and minutes and hours. You know, he doesn't sow his seed one day and then go out there and get disappointed that he doesn't see any crops. No, he, verse 27, he sleeps, rises night and day. He just goes about his ordinary business. Crops take time. And similarly, Jesus is calling us to expect that ordinarily, this is, you know, God typically, okay, created the world in 6 days, could have done it like that. And with spiritual growth, with spiritual things, God typically works over a period of months, not days, though God can. You plant mustard seed in the ground, takes time, right? Doesn't become a mustard plant just like that. Takes weeks and months, and then at the end of that time, it becomes something great, right? And this is what we expect of, again, this is ordinarily what we expect of even great authors. Right? We would be shocked to learn that Hamlet was produced by Shakespeare pulling a couple all-nighters, right? No, you don't produce a work like Hamlet just by pulling some all-nighters. No, it's something that you write once, and then you revise it, and then you revise it again, and then you keep doing that until Shakespeare himself was satisfied with it, and then he produces the great work. And it'd be right foolish to take the first draft of, you know, someone's work, the unedited version of a movie, and look at it and be like, this is terrible. No, you got to wait time. You got to wait for the finished product. You can't expect something great over just a period of a few days. And this is how God works. Ordinarily, he works typically like we do, actually. We take time to grow things and to build things. God ordinarily works in the same way. And that should actually cause us to be encouraged. Because the temptation, again, especially in our culture, where we can get packages, same day we order them sometimes, is, I want it now. I want it now. I want to see it now. But the most important things in life, they don't happen right away. Babies take a long time to grow. And you wait, and you can't, you know, one click purchase them, and they show up. No, you have to wait. And God, similarly, he works over a period of time. He works in an ordinary way. So expect God to work. Just expect him to be at work in an ordinary way. Not in an instantaneous way. Not in a mechanical way. So that was our first point. Expect God to be at work. Why? Because he works in an ordinary way. Just like things that we see around us all the time. Next, expect God to be at work because he uses means. Our confession says this: God, in his ordinary providence, maketh use of means. What does means mean? A means is an instrument to do something. So if God wants to save your life when you get in a car crash, his ordinary means of doing that is the seatbelt. It's the airbags. It's not angels, right? Again, Jesus could have jumped off the temple. Angels extraordinarily could have swooped up and saved him. But Jesus did not do that because God calls us to use means. And one way you don't die if you're at the top of a temple is by not jumping off. That's the means that God uses, right? So God uses means. What means does God use to grow our spiritual life? Our parable gives us two answers. And the first, and the more important, is his chosen means. It's the word of God. Look at verses 26 and 31 again. Again, he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Verse 31, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. So again, how do farmers get crops? It's not a secret. They do use tractors. They attach the tillers. They till soil. They cut down trees. They make long furrows. They even have those, you know, big field-encompassing sprinklers, right? So they use all those things. But if you don't have seed, you're not going to see any crops. If you want corn, you throw kernels in the ground. Again, similarly with God, what means does God use? He uses many means. Many things are important. But you're not going to see fruit unless you have God's word. Look at verse 14. The seed obviously represents God's word, just like last week we saw this. Verse 14, not in our text, but we'll go there anyway. The sower sows the word. What does God use? Preaching. Bible reading. Prayer, the sacraments. God's word sung, believed, and obeyed. God's word produces fruit. So, what's the expectation? If you see a farmer sowing seed, you should expect in due time to see crops, right? So with God. Anytime you see, better yet, hear, anytime you hear a sermon, you sing God's word, you pray, you should be expecting God to be at work. So what is God's chosen means of working? It's the word of God. The word of God must be present if we are to see spiritual growth, spiritual life, vitality, energy. But that's not his only means. Let's look at his second means that he uses. Just very simply, human beings. Kernels don't get into the ground by themselves. Neither does the word go out without human beings. You know, a farmer, those kernels are in sacks, and the farmer has to go out there, he has to slash them open, and he has to spread them. And the farmer, once those kernels are in the ground, once he's tilled his fields, made those furrows long, you know, he's still got to make sure that they grow. He's got to make sure that they're getting enough water. And again, we should expect God to use human beings too. Just as the farmer throws the seed, so there has to be someone to give out God's word. God uses people. Very simple as that. He's given the church pastors to preach the word. And we're not, you know, newspaper boys who take Bibles and just go house to house and do like this, right? No, you know, like farmers, preachers have to work. And we have to study the text, come up with sermons. God uses human effort, right? God uses human means. And that's how his word gets out. Again, God could disciple covenant children any way he chose. Chose the means of parents. Deuteronomy 6, right? It's parents talking about the Bible. It's parents talking about it when they rise up, when they lie down, when they sit, when they rise. What other means? He uses relationships to bring us in contact with someone who knows the word. I mean, that's part of my conversion story. I'm sure there are others in here. It's a Christian friend who invited me to church. I said no, but then I said yes. And eventually that brought me into contact with the word of God. And again, God is using human means to do this. Again, he could use angels. He could just do it by himself and speak from heaven. But he's chosen to use human beings to be a means of spreading his word. But you say, what about those who, having a bad night in the hotel room, they open the side drawer, they pull out the Gideon Bible. Then they start reading it and they believe. Just proving my point even more. Because where do Bibles come from? The word of God comes from God, but Bibles come from human beings. Right? Someone chops down a tree. Someone makes it into paper. Someone gets ink. I don't know where ink comes from. Squids? Is that where we get ink? But someone gets ink somehow. And you know, they typeset it and they print it. Bibles come from human beings, right? God uses human means. So again, this is how we should expect God to be at work. And again, whenever we see God's word being preached, read, and whenever we see a human being ministering it, then our expectation should be God must be up to something. God must be up to something. God, in due time, must be producing something. We should have that expectation, right? Every time we come to church, there are people using the word. There's the word. We should see some fruit in due time. Again, we should, by faith, expect this. And, if I can say this, we should also expect that God will use us. We should want to be used by God to spread His word. Just relationships that we have, right? Again, a very common thing that we run into, especially around here all the time, is those who claim the name of Christ, but no, I don't go to church. I don't need the church. Oh, don't you know that Hebrews 10:25 commands all Christians not to forsake the assembling of the saints? Just plant a seed. You're a human being. Plant a seed. Who knows? Who knows if that verse just might irritate that person into coming into church? A holy irritation, right? That's what we need with our non-Christian friends and family. Need some irritation in there. That's what God's word is designed to do. Just plant a seed. Who knows what will happen? The person at our last church was just a groomsman in a wedding. And a non-Christian friend of his was also in the wedding party. And he hadn't seen him in years. But he realized, after asking some questions, he just did not understand what Christianity was. Just no idea. So he explained it to him. Well, God created all things. Adam fell, and everyone is now born a sinner and guilty. But he sent Christ to come and save those who will trust in him. And at the end of the age, he will make everything perfect for those who believe in Christ. And the friend immediately obeyed and believed right there. No, just kidding. That almost never happens, right? Guy just completely ignored it. They went on their wedding activities. Nothing happened. But the seed was planted. And so this man met him years later. And he said, "Hey, Eric, do you remember that time that you explained to me what Christians believed? That was the beginning of my conversion." Again, just a seed sown by someone who just immediately stonewalled him became a mulberry bush, became a mustard tree. God's word sown by a human being. And God went to work. So we don't know how God is going to use the seeds that we sow. But we know that if there is going to be a spiritual work, it's going to come about ordinarily with His word given by a human being. So let's summarize where we've been so far. By faith, we should expect God to work because He works in an ordinary way. He works like a farmer does with his crops. Second, He uses means. He uses His word. He uses human beings. Which means that whenever we see His word, whenever we see a person using it, we should in due time expect fruit. Lastly, and most importantly, we should expect God to be at work because He is the God of grace. Ordinary means, but grace is most important. Where do we see the grace of God in these parables? Where do we see the grace of God? We see it in at least three ways. We see His grace in the phrase, kingdom of God. Look at verses 26 and 30. These parables, Jesus says, verse 26, are about the kingdom of God. Verse 30, with what shall we compare the kingdom of God? These parables are about the reign of God, how God rules. It's the way God rules over His people. And His rule over His people is a gracious rule. In our last point, we stressed, importantly and truly, that God uses human means to bring about spiritual growth. But here we need to realize in this point that it is God using human means. The only way spiritual fruit comes about is if God is at work. And by His grace in His people, He is. Yes, God uses human means. We're important. But God is the one who uses them because God is at work. And this leads us to our second surprise. I let it out. It's a surprise, right? The results of God's work are surprising. Look at verse 27. This farmer sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. So this God of grace, and this should surprise us. This should amaze us. It should evoke a glorious awe in seeing God at work. Ancient philosopher Aristotle, there's one thing that made him just wonder and baffled. It was an acorn. He said, you look at this acorn. And look at that oak tree out there. It becomes one of those. How? How does that happen? Well, he said that this acorn, it had a telos, had a purpose. And what's the purpose of an acorn, according to Aristotle? Well, to become an oak tree. So it absorbs nutrients, sends down roots, pushes up through the dirt. And it is just itching. It's busy. It's trying to become an oak tree. Similarly, with God's word, because he is a God of grace, what is his word itching to do? It's just itching to produce fruit. So we see God's word in a man battling lust. And what is it itching to do? It's itching to give him freedom. Freedom from lust. What is God's word in a woman struggling with fear? What is it itching to do? To give her confidence in Christ. God's word, when it is sown, is just itching to produce fruit. God's word is knocking. It's saying, here, listen, the Savior is here. Listen, he's come to produce fruit. He's come to heal the brokenhearted, bind up wounds. So God is a God of grace. He is at work. It should surprise us, it should awe us, it should amaze us, especially because of the results of his grace. Look down at verses 26 through 29 again. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. The results of this farmer's work are disproportionately greater than he ever expected. In verse 27, he's just sitting there staring at this, you know, sea of little sprouts, and he's like, wow. And a few weeks, a few months later, he sees the crops and he's like, well, I guess I got some work on my hands. I better grab this sickle and go. Because the results of God's grace are meant to be amazing. We're meant to be surprised and awed at God's work of grace. And I'll say especially, I've already used some conversion examples, but I'll say especially at covenant faith. Seeing a child simply hearing God's word over years and years, family Bible studies, prayers. How do those feeble things, how does it produce a woman or a man of faith in his or her older age? The way God works is amazing. The result of him working is amazing. But remember, it's not the result of him working with lasers or in a special, super extraordinary way. Farmer goes out, sows seeds, tills soil, waters it. God's word is preached, listened to, obeyed. Over time, he will produce fruit. So you should expect God to be at work, using simple and ordinary means. What does that look like? What does that expectation look like? Well, kids, I think it's time for us adults to start learning from you. Is that prayer meeting? I'll say, sheepishly, who has a prayer request? And then all the adults will look down and stare at the floor and Then some kid just shoots up his hand and says, "Someone pray for God to grow the church a lot." And then all the adults are just stunned and we're like, and then some other kid will pray for it and say, "God, would you please explode our church with growth? Amen." Adults, that is what it looks like. What do we need to learn from them? What do they know that we have forgotten? They know that, yeah, prayer, so feeble. So feeble, such an ordinary means. But they know this, that though the ordinary means of grace are just that, they are ordinary, they are in the hands of an extraordinary God. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you that you are at work even now. Give us eyes to be surprised and amazed at your grace and your work.